Today in the show, we discover the secret of how the Argonian homeland has remained unconquered for so long. Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and dare I say universes of our favorite video games. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Connor.
And we are back to talk about the land of Tamriel again. It is good to be back in this mythical little world.
Absolutely. We can't seem to stay away. Every time we come home from our vacations to Tamriel, you know, we unpack and we, you know, settle it back into home and we just immediately miss Tamriel again. You know, we can't stop going back.
Just can't stay away.
And you know, we're going to a really shiny and beautiful corner of Tamriel this time. A really underrated, under the radar spot that the tourists haven't ruined yet.
Untouched by the horrible civilizations of the Septim Empire, I would say.
Completely unspoiled wilderness.
Unspoiled wilderness. Yeah. But still rife with so many war crimes.
It's the culture is just very vibrant, very it's an experience. Of course we're talking about the one and only province where our favorite lizard people come from. We're going full lizard mode today, people. That's right. We're going to the Black Marsh. Now talk about the Black Marsh and what, you know, the secret hidden strengths of Black Marsh, because I feel like a lot of parts of Tamriel, a lot of the provinces we're really familiar with. I mean, of course, we've all spent hours upon hours in Skyrim. Of course, most of us are familiar with Morrowind. Most of us are familiar with Cyrodiil. But I feel like the Black Marsh is one of those parts of Tamriel, parts of Elder Scrolls in general, that is still pretty mysterious. There's a lot of yet to be uncovered parts of Black Marsh that kind of defy explanation at this point.
Yeah, it's incredibly just, it's an outlier in the world of Tamriel, where it is usually taken over by just some of its larger neighbors or assimilated in some way. But, and from what we at least see in like Elder Scrolls Online, which takes place only in the second era, which is like, you know, two eras before like the events of the game in Skyrim, is just very still packed with wilderness and foliage, tree homes that kind of, again, like you said, defy explanation of why it's still there.
Yeah, it's funny when you look at, you know, the Argonians as a people in Elder Scrolls, like they put up with a lot of shit in their history. Like that's obvious. Like they are very downtrodden in a lot of ways. And what, you know, an interesting facet we're going to be talking about extensively today, that's one of our main themes today, is like how the Argonians can be so oppressed as a people in so many ways throughout their history, but their homeland, the Black Marsh, can remain so untouched by civilization. Like you mentioned, the Septim dynasty, the empire of Tamriel, like, has tried multiple times to fully conquer and assimilate the Black Marsh, but there's still something about it that is unconquerable. So it's kind of like, what's the deal there? What's going on with that? So that's where we're going to go today.
Exactly. And so without further ado, I'd love to just jump into that after some housekeeping. So first and foremost, we'd love to hear from our listeners. Email us at podcast@loreparty.com. And just with your thoughts on the episode ideas, or just if you think that we're completely off off kilter with this hot take of the Argonians being like low key OP, and let's strike up a conversation.
Yeah, feedback of any kind. Let us hear it.
Absolutely. And our teams also stream weekly on Twitch, so be sure to follow us at twitch.tv/lore_party. And of course, you can connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at lore_party. So let's first answer the big question. Why are we even talking about these weird lizard people whose female part have breasts for some reason. It's, again, it's just such a weird race, such a weird place.
You, but you've reminded me of something I
don't talk, you
I,
dare.
No, no,
don't
no.
Don't you dare speak her name.
No, not that. Something else. You reminded me of something else I've also memory hold and tried to forget about, and that was the discourse from months ago. Hell, it might have been years ago at this point, of like people suddenly, like, I don't know where it came from, but suddenly there was that discussion of why do Argonians, or maybe lizard people in a lot of fantasy settings, why do they have breasts? I was like, that's what the real topic of today is. All the other stuff about,
we just tricked you.
Yeah, that was a smokescreen. We lured you in. The real episode is about the anatomy of a lizard. I'm kidding. No,
visit our website to see diagrams.
But no, what really made us want to take a closer look at the Argonians, but also their homeland, the Black Marsh. I think we were just talking once, you and I, Bruce.
We were like having a double date dinner.
Yeah, we were at the lounge, you know, with the missuses, and you know, having our aperitifs and our hors d'oeuvres, you know, as gentlemanly men about town as we are. And we were just vehemently nerding back and forth while our significant others rolled their eyes at us. And, it just came to us like, dude, the Black Marsh, like, beat an Oblivion invasion. Like, the Deidre from Oblivion tried to invade the Black Marsh, and they couldn't do it. Like, they steamrolled over Cyrodiil at the same time, but meanwhile, over in the Black Marsh, the Argonians fought back and won. What the hell happened there? Like, how was that even possible?
Yeah, it just kept bringing the question back of just like, how, first of all, after getting absolutely rocked for hundreds, if not thousands of years, was any group able to like stave off a Daedric level threat? And that was kind of where the whole thing came from. I think I heard about it through a TikTok because I knew about the Oblivion crisis. Mm-hmm. I knew Oblivion, and that was one thing, but apparently like just like off off camera, off screen, while, you know, the hero of Kvatch was like, you know, running around closing the portals.
Right.
The Argonians were just like going absolutely savage.
Yeah, like we got this covered. Like we're fine. We don't need a hero of Kvatch. We're fine.
We got to talking, and like this was just something that I've been kind of learning more about, and it was such an amazing journey. And so I want to take you all with that now. They don't seem like a very like remarkable race, like, you know,
aside from being lizard people.
This is the land of Tamriel. You can't just get by with that gimmick. All right,
right. You need something else.
The Altmer say that they are descended from gods. The Nords literally came from another continent and literally just killed all the elves in their immediate area and claimed that place as their new ancestral homeland. Like, it's a skeever eat skeever world out there. And you got to be able to like show some muscle. And I mean, the Argonians, like, cool, they got scales and stuff, but that's all they have going for themselves,
seemingly. But we're gonna peel back those layers and really get to what their hidden strength is, but first we're gonna take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, but we'll be right back after that, so stick around. Okay, we're back. And so we'd be remiss if we didn't, you know, just give some really quick basic context for anyone not entirely familiar with Argonians. If you haven't played an Elder Scrolls game, you probably don't know what the hell we're talking about. You know, lizard people is a pretty good descriptor, though. Like, if you hear lizard people and you imagine a bipedal humanoid lizard guy walking around talking, wearing clothes, you pretty much have the picture. But
yeah,
they are reptilian humanoid creatures with their own culture, language, and history, and they come from a corner of Tamriel called the Black Marsh. That's kind of their homeland. That's where everyone else in Tamriel looks at that part of the continent and says, that's Black Marsh. That's when no one else goes there but the Argonians. And we'll get into why that is. You know, there's actually a pretty interesting dynamic there of like the Black Marsh is really only hospitable to the Argonians and barely anyone else. That's pretty key to their history. And it's for much of that history, they've been, like we touched on earlier, they've been kind of misunderstood and kind of reviled and spat on by most of the other races in Tamriel. Like, if you're playing Skyrim, if you look at specific parts of, I think Windhelm is a good example. That specific city, Argonians and also Dark Elves, basically anyone who's not a Nord, pretty much, gets kind of relegated to their own parts of town. It's segregation. It's like they have Argonian mm-hmm. ghettos, basically. And you can see that play out in other cities, too, like in the Imperial City and in Cyrodiil, but also Breville. Like, some of the poorer regions of these Imperial provinces, they tend to attract Argonians. They're a downtrodden people in most places they live outside of their homeland.
Yeah. So it comes from, like, a few, I would say, key factors.
This prejudice against them? Yeah, like, why all this prejudice? Like,
yeah, why? And so you have, in the same kind of boat, you have the Khajiit and the,
sure,
what you yeah. would call beast races. And, I mean, they are truly the minority in the continent of Tamriel, mm-hmm. where, you know, everyone else is, like, you know, as much of Men and Myr don't really get along, they yeah. still kind of look like each other.
Right. It's humans, elves, and then everyone else, basically.
Exactly. So that is kind of why they just, like, again, they're big horn-feathered, scaly lizard people who might also resemble dragons, which, again, have left kind of a bad taste in people's mouths.
Could be a stigma there, for sure.
Yeah. And so, like, and on top of that, their homeland is also just, again, this untamed wilderness of mystery and danger, but also, like, of, you know, disease and festering grossness. Like, again, it's just on misunderstandings upon misunderstandings of just being different.
Yeah, I don't even want to imagine the mosquitoes in the Black Marsh. Like,
they're probably the size of, like, house cats.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
They're also not as mobile as other races. I mean, I think you'll find an Argonian in almost every province of Tamriel, but it's never really in very large numbers to make up, like, their own town. They're very sedentary to either find their way back to Black Marsh, or they don't stray too far. Mm-hmm. And that's for, like, a number of reasons that we'll kind of go into, but, you know, when you only see just a very small, select few representations of an entire race, you start to make a lot of different assumptions.
Right.
And that, again, leads into a prejudice in these different communities where Argonians aren't very well known or, for that matter, trusted.
Yeah, it's kind of like they remain a minority in several factors. Like, some factors are self-imposed. Like you said, they just tend not to leave their home world, home province very often. So they don't migrate in large numbers, so they don't really have the protection of large numbers when they move somewhere else. And so they just kind of tend to be in a minority wherever they go. And sometimes when they leave the Black Marsh, it's not voluntary. Sometimes they are literally just taken as slaves. We'll get into that later. Like, slavery is also a big part of their history, which you know, we'll dive into more extensively later. But, you know, just I feel like, to your point, Bruce, like, when they stay kind of relatively still, when they kind of group up and stay where they're used to staying, that's just out of necessity, because, yeah, like, for hundreds of years, they've been preyed upon by their neighbors who want to come make slaves of them or take over their territory. I guess the big one there is you know, the province directly north of the Black Marsh, which is Morrowind, home of the Dunmer / Dark Elves. The Dunmer and the Argonians, they've got quite a sordid history. I mean,
they got beef. Yeah, they got big beef.
Well, yeah, it's on site between them. Like, when I played Elder Scrolls III Morrowind, very often in Morrowind, that game, you can, as the player, you encounter enslaved Argonians, also enslaved Khajiit. Basically, both members of the beast races are often made slaves in Morrowind, because in Morrowind, the land of the Dark Elves, slavery is kind of, I guess you could say, legal there. It's just normal. It's kind of accepted. It's part of their, it's kind of part of the culture a little bit.
Yeah, like, I mean, not only is it, like, accepted, they have an entire noble house revolved around it, where their banner is literally shackles.
Yeah.
They take pride in it.
Yeah. It's just how things go there. And another part of how things go there is just the fact that Khajiit and, you know, and the Argonians, those two races, the beast races, are just the most commonly enslaved peoples in Morrowind. You just rarely, if ever, see a wood elf, you know, a Bosmer or a Breton, Imperial, or any kind of human or elf, really, in shackles. It's usually Argonians or Khajiit. It's like, I don't know, they're just seen as the easy target.
Yeah, and no one feels that they can protect them, either that they don't trust them enough, or that, you know, they think, yeah, they should be enslaved. They are subservient. They are like animal people.
Yeah.
Some people would even claim that they aren't even of sentience to be given human rights.
Yeah. It is that otherization. They're just so different that it's very easy to justify treating them differently. And, you know, to that sentience point, you know, I think something really important to know about the Argonians and kind of how they, how their culture and their society is structured, it comes down to, what's called the Hist. Now, the Hist is a it's a big term, so let's unpack that. Basically, unlike the humans and elves of Tamriel, who, as we understand it, are thought to have descended from the Aedra, the gods of Nirn, of the mortal plane. However, the Argonians and the Khajiit and the beast races, their lore says, like their myths and their legends maintain that they did not descend from the Aedra, but they in fact descended from another race of semi-sentient trees. These magical trees called the Hist. So basically there's this legend around what's called the Hist, which is a type of tree, a sentient tree, that the Argonians have this very strong, very inherent connection to. Basically, the Argonians see these Hist trees as the source of all life. That's their god, that's their ancestor, that's their mother, their father, that's everything to them. The Hist is like very central to Argonian history and society.
Alpha and Omega.
That's right.
Yeah, so in my research, I found that the Hist was a very interesting, fascinating kind of, I don't even know if I would say organism, but just, you know, character.
it's something.
Yeah. It has conflicting accounts, but one that I really did like was that some Argonians claim that the Hist originated from Oblivion.
Which is basically the hell of Tamriel.
Exactly. Kind of. Place of Daedra, the demons and things of whatnot. And they came over here and began to create life. And the Argonians worship them, again, as deities, but as ancestors. And it's kind of different, but also similar to how the Altmer see themselves, where they say that they are the descendants of the Aedra. Mm-hmm. And I really like that because, you know, maybe the beast races could be actually descendants from the Daedra.
That's right.
In a kind of duality, while not really being like enemies, but definitely having a different nature to themselves.
Yeah, that factors into the way the Argonians see themselves and like kind of perceive their place in the cycle of life. You know, the Altmer, they look up to the Aedra and the original spirits and the gods and all that. And, you know, it's a very celestial outlook on life, but the Argonians have a bit more of a grounded sense of spirituality where they look at the Hist as their afterlife. Like we are born from the Hist trees. We return to the Hist trees. It's a very hippy dippy, granola crunching circle
of
life
with the trees. Man, <you're one. laughs>
Yeah. That's how they view certain spirituality. But no, you make a good point, Bruce, of like, it's almost a yin and yang thing of like, you know, we look at it this way. You look at it that way. No one's wrong. No one's necessarily right or wrong. It's just like you all have, and like, we kind of touched on that in our episode on the various gods and religions of Tamriel, is like everyone looks at kind of the same picture but gets certain different things out of it. But no, yeah, also the Argonians have a very unique experience when, you know, because of their connection to the Hist, because as far as we're aware, the Argonians seem to be the only race that is able to communicate with the Hist trees. It's almost like a kind of like a sort of telepathy, but the way the Argonians think of it, they call it as hearing through the wind, quote unquote. It's like they just hear the Hist trees kind of communicating with them, whispering to them. But that communion goes one step further too. They also consume what's called hist sap, you know, the sap of the hist trees. They kind of do that to become closer to the hist, and it's kind of like it's a rite of passage for Argonians. It's part of their religion. But one step further than that, the hist sap also is a big part of the social awareness of Argonians. It kind of helps them create like a hive mind. They can be closer to each other mentally and spiritually. And one last note about the hist sap. We actually have mentioned it before on this show. In our episode on the Blackwood Company over in Cyrodiil, which you can encounter during the game Oblivion, the Blackwood Company is a group of mercenaries, and they use a different form of hist sap. It's kind of thought that the Blackwood Company had almost like a corrupted or tampered with variant of hist sap, because what their version does is it makes you enter a killing frenzy. It's like a combat drug, basically. So normal hist sap, the way it's used in sort of these rites of passage and religious ceremonies and whatnot, it's not normally, it doesn't normally have that effect from what we know. So it's kind of, it juries out on that a little bit of whether or not the Blackwood Company had real, legitimate, straight from the source hist sap or not, but it can be used in many ways, long story short.
Right. Like, it also said that hist sap can also, like, change their appearance or alter their state. And that can also be, like, both physically, spiritually, mentally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all of these factors kind of combine themselves in the Argonian people, their culture, their way of life, their religion, and, of course, their, like, regional point of origin to give it, like, one blaring takeaway. The Argonians, by their own nature, are capable of extremely effective coordination and cooperation.
That's right.
In a very, very specific environment. Mm-hmm. And not only with themselves, but with, again, that environment in a way that other races cannot even begin to. I would even wager to say more than the Khajiit. More than the wood elves.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, you will never see Imperials, definitely not Nords, Redguards, Altmer, Dunmer. You'll never see any of them have the kind of teamwork that Argonians are capable of, because, like we've talked about, thanks to the hist sap and their mutual connection to the hist trees, they are inside each other's minds, basically, if they want to be. And like you said, Bruce, like they're intricately connected to their own environment. Like, their home province of Black Marsh is like, it's like a second skin to them. They know every nook and cranny of it. Mm-hmm. So it's, well, that'll be important later. But yeah, all these things about like their society, their origins, their physical attributes, it gives us this, one of their main strengths, one of their greatest strengths is their community, their ability to act in a communal way. It's huge. That's an underrated superpower, I would argue.
Yeah, I would say it would kind of be like, all right, hear me out. It kind of reminds me of when, like, you say, like, all right, Incredible Hulk versus Batman. How much prep time does Batman
have? Uh-huh, prep time, yep, classic.
If the Argonians are under specific conditions, they are unstoppable.
Yeah.
But they are not very usually in that position.
Yeah, it's kind of like fighting in their own environment is kind of like the prep time for Argonians. It's like,
yes,
if they have that, they're good to go. If they
are, they in Black Marsh?
yeah, exactly. Like, where were they? But that's the thing, though. Like, all of this adds up to, this, you could see this making them very, very capable of defending their home. But we'll have more to say on that later.
Exactly. And we're going to hear more about that and just the history of what the Argonians kind of went through from the first to even the fourth era after this break. And we're back. All right. So I think next is just, we're going to try and compartmentalize thousands of years of history and warfare into a very minute compartmentalized lightning round, where we just kind of talk about what the Argonians have been through, both militarily and culturally, in their home of Black Marsh.
That's right. Yeah, we've gone over, what makes them different, what's special about them kind of inherently by their own nature. But yeah, let's dive into how that has shaped their history over the many, many years. as we've explained in depth, the Argonians are seen as the black sheep, you could say, the black sheep from the Black Marsh, of the races of Tamriel. You know, in many ways, they're just treated horribly by really all their neighbors. They have the, you know, they have Imperials to the west of them, and of course the Dunmer neighbors to the north, the Dark Elves.
And then the other, and then it's just the sea. Like, that's
yeah,
it.
And then they have the Imperials to the west, Dark Elves to the north, and then to the west, to the east and south, ocean. Nowhere
else.
I'm sure
if they had actual neighbors on those sides, they'd also get attacked.
Yeah. So their borders have always been the sites of, you know, skirmishes. Like, there's always stuff going on the fringes of their province where, you know, they're pretty much always being invaded. And, you know, by all accounts, they don't really have that much of a formidable military structure. You know, like, they're not like the Imperials. The Imperials have a very professional army, and, you know, the Dunmers are also, you know, orcs, Redguard, like all these other peoples of Tamriel have pretty proud warrior cultures. But I think, for, you know, from what we know, the Argonians aren't exactly, like, you know, born, bred, and built fighters with a fearsome reputation for war. They've, you know, especially when, of course, like we said, especially when they leave the Black Marsh. Like, you know, we'll get into how they fight fiercely on their own turf, but, you know, they don't have the conqueror reputation. They don't leave their home and, like, take the fight to anyone else very often. That's not their reputation.
It would be very rare to see, like, an Argonian Imperial Legion,
right,
you know, storming down the countryside. They're, again, a much more, and again, they do have a military, they do have an army, they have warriors, but it's much less traditional than you might expect in this kind of land of Tamriel. They thrive, again, in an environment of, you know, swampy terrain. They are resistant to many of the diseases in the area. In fact, that's actually one of their race benefits, that you cannot be, you know, hit with a terrible disease. You are resistant to any and all diseases as an Argonian. And they have the ability to breathe underwater. I cannot understate how much of a boon that is in a swampy environment.
Exactly.
I mean, again, there's not many seas in Tamriel, which, again, I think really puts them at a disadvantage.
Plenty of lakes and rivers. Yeah, not a lot.
They have lakes and rivers. There's not a huge lake, I would say, where there's, like, you know, an entire ocean that they could, like, camp under. But, like, it's still something that is such an underutilized skill that I just feel like it's just because of where they are.
You step into their swamp and, yeah, you could be surrounded and you wouldn't know it. They'd be underwater. Picture a crocodile that can stand on two legs and hold a spear.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not screwing with that. Like, hell no.
They are capable of, like, coordination and thought, and they have tree friends. Like, I'm not fucking with that. So with all of those, they are perfect for guerrilla warfare against invading forces.
Exactly.
Think if the Viet Cong were, again, just fucking crocodiles. We'd be dealing with a much different problem of PTSD from
let's just say Platoon would be a very different movie. Apocalypse
Actually,
Now
would
have
I would watch the fuck out of that, though. Someone get on that.
And that's kind of why, like, during the first three eras of Tamriel's history, you know, the Argonians were pretty much they were attacked a lot. They were invaded all the time. But as we notice a pattern in their history, they were never really fully conquered. Not all the way. And even when they were kind of, you know, subjugated, it was never for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we keep, for me at least, I keep coming back to the fact that, like, you can invade the Black Marsh, sure. You can throw an army at the Black Marsh and try to take over the Argonian homeland, but your results will disappoint you every single time. Like, you might make some gains. You might take over, like, you know, the foothills or the borders of their province. But when you start getting into the heart of the Black Marsh, you're going to come up against, like we said, just squads of amphibious assault lizard men and lizard women with you know, sharp sticks and bows and daggers, and they'll just come up and slit your throat, and you can't poison them, you can't drown them, you can't disease them. It's, they don't get sick. It's like,
yeah, so
it's
no,
like,
biological warfare. That's, yeah, on just, their side.
Yeah, like it, like you said, guerrilla tactics, hit and run. You're on their turf. So that's why every invasion, every attempt to conquer the Black Marsh always just kind of grinds to a halt eventually and collapses eventually. I mean, we saw in the first era, the Imperials of Cyrodiil, they had this massive war to annex and kind of absorb the Black Marsh into the Empire, which you know, is actually originally, at first at least, a defeat for the Argonians. That's where the first Battle of Argonia is recorded, and that's where they get their name. That's kind of what the Imperials started calling them. However, the Imperials, after that battle, even though they beat the Argonians the first time, they learned quickly after that if they follow, like when they follow the Argonians deeper into their territory, they hit a wall of, you know, metaphorically. They just, you know, they hit swamps that they can't navigate through. They encounter wildlife they have no way to deal with. They encounter diseases they have no way to deal with. So the terrain itself defeats them. It's almost like the Argonians have half of the battle won for them just by where they live. It's wild.
Yeah, it's the greatest home field advantage that I think we've ever seen in Tamriel, where mm-hmm. most of the other places are just, again, countrysides or maybe rocky terrain and deserts.
Yeah,
but
there's mountains, there's deserts, but yeah, like the swamp will just swallow armies whole, though. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all the things that would otherwise, you know, kill a normal men or mer mm-hmm. Soldier, they thrive in every day.
Yeah.
But even though, you know, these threats couldn't get further into Black Marsh, that didn't mean that they were just, you know, safe on home base.
Oh, sure.
the Dunmers actually really figured that out when they could enslave a lot of Argonians after this first kind of first era defeat mm-hmm. from the Imperials. As their neighbors, they just kind of saw the Argonians as a people that they could possibly exploit. And so those who were brave enough to kind of live on the fringes of Black Marsh could see that it was not entirely safe, where Dunmer would go in very routinely and just attack, raid villages, and capture as many Argonians as possible to enslave
yeah.
them.
Yeah,
it was just absolutely just a disgusting display of just taking advantage of an enemy while it's already down. Not even an enemy at this point. They had no
neighbor. Yeah,
just a neighbor. They yeah. like the Argonians did not throw the first punch here. It was the Dunmer, because they saw that they were just this easy pickings. And then after that, through the second era, they were just hit with even more bad luck when they just kind of went through just bad tyrannical oppression of their own government. There was actually a deadly plague while the Dunmer kind of capitalized on their weakened state and just enslaved more people. And again, think about that. These are a race of lizard people who do not usually ever get sick. There must have been a literal, like, you know, super COVID cancer kind of fucking thing that was ravaging these people.
Some kind of mutated mega rabies had to hit them. Like, yeah.
Exactly.
To make them sick. Yeah.
Yeah. And also for that to happen to a people who, again, are not used to that. And if, like, most races are just like, okay, well, this is what we do if there's an outbreak. Do you think that kind of infrastructure and, like, all of that is there for people who very rarely ever get sick?
You almost got to wonder if it's like a War of the Worlds situation. Like, obviously, the Argonians are, immune to all the diseases that are native to the Black Marsh. But if, like, the Imperials bring a common cold that someone got in High Rock once, that spreads around the Black Marsh. That's game over, man. Like, you're donezo. Like, you have no answer to that with your immune system. And so even with all this stuff going on, even with all these catastrophic calamities befalling the Argonians, like, this is one of the Black Marsh's darkest periods in history. Even with all that happening, like we said, the core of the Black Marsh, like the very heart of the territory, you know, where kind of the last line of defense, where Argonians could always retreat there, huddle up, circle the wagons and really make their last stand in the heart of the territory. No foreign troops from either Morrowind or Cyrodiil ever made it that far. Like, no one ever completely penetrated and took over the core of the Black Marsh. That never happened.
They said that even Tiber Septim always thought twice before even sending troops to the border of Black Marsh.
Yeah, he realized what a lost cause it was to try and, you know, conquer that province completely. You know, kind of like, you know, the parallel would be, let's say, you know, the Nords of Skyrim invade Cyrodiil and they want to conquer the Empire. The way to do that is you get to the heart of the province where the Imperial City is, where the White Gold Tower is, the seat of Imperial power.
Can't miss it.
Yeah, it's very easy to find. Yeah, and if you conquer that, sack it, siege it, take it over, whatever, make it yours, you've won. The thing is, you can't do that to the Argonians. You basically can't. And like you said, Tiber Septim knew that. Like, he knew that no one's ever going to live long enough to make it to the center of the Black Marsh and just completely, entirely conquer the province. It just can't be done. So essentially, the Black Marsh was, like we've established, it's a captive province. It's surrounded by neighbors aggressors, really, constantly taking advantage of it, whether it's trying to conquer them or just make slaves of them. So, like, it's always going to be in that position, that unenviable position, but it was still never fully assimilated into the Empire. So it kind of remained unconquered. So, like, yeah, like, you have the capital of Black Marsh, which is a settlement that the Argonians call Helstrom. It's in the center of Black Marsh. The Empire never reached it, never got that far. So, like, even though the Argonians would constantly lose territory to the Imperials and the Dunmer, and, you know, the enslavement keeps happening, they still never lose their homeland entirely. It's just this plucky little underdog of a province that never gets knocked out of the game all the way.
Yeah, they completely encircle them. Like, it's right. It was like a natural border between them and their enemies. If you tried to travel to the center of Black Marsh, you possibly could, but then by that time, you would then have to be ready for the greatest fight of your life the last few thousand Argonian
just descend
warriors
upon
descend upon you who didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to, you know, fight against diseases and vines and shit. And then they just attack you. Like, it's just not feasible. Logistics cannot help you.
Yeah. And it's like, what would you gain even? What would be the prize? It's just land that you don't want to live on anyway, that you don't want to do anything with.
Yeah, you can't till it. You can't build property on it. Like, it's a non-starter.
Yeah, there's no point to it. But I think that brings us to kind of our last point. We'll wrap up with this. It's a doozy, though. There's a lot to say, but this is what we've been leading up to. Like, what inspired this episode in the first place when we first chatted over dinner about how crazy is this? Let's talk about this. Was the Oblivion Crisis, which, or at least this is part of it. The Oblivion Crisis, which, you know, aptly named, happens during the game Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. Like we talked about that, the Oblivion Crisis was when gates to the Daedric realm of Oblivion opened up all over the place, not just in Cyrodiil where that game takes place, but all over Tamriel. So what's wild is everything was going terribly for the Argonians while their neighbors and the rest of Tamriel were doing great for most of the history of the continent. But then everything just got completely flipped upside down. The table was thrown over when the Oblivion Crisis happened, which, as we know, it ended the Septim Dynasty, and the Daedric Prince Mehrunes Dagon, you know, threw open these gates to Oblivion, trying to take over Tamriel and the rest of the world. But, like, what we see here is that even though Oblivion gates opened in Black Marsh, just like they did everywhere else, the Black Marsh was the only province in Tamriel that actually ended the Oblivion Crisis on their own. Or, like, at least locally. You know, like, the hero of K'Vatch, the main character of Oblivion, you know, actually ends the Oblivion Crisis by defeating Mehrunes Dagon, you know, with the help of Martin Septim. That's a whole other story. But basically, the Argonians defended, like, dealt with their own shit on their own. They defended their home province and closed their own Oblivion gates, and, like, they were fine. They suffered the fewest casualties. They, you know, lost the least territory. They handled it, and no one else could. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, this is truly, and this isn't because of, you know, the swampy terrain or the, you know, mosquitoes and the diseases, because I don't think demons really give a shit about that.
Right, right.
This was actually kind of a well-coordinated defense system that was apparently done through the Hyst. Again, up until this point, I don't think a lot of people kind of believe that the Hyst were, like, really there. Like, okay, right. Argonians.
Sure, yeah, the trees talk to you, okay. Sure.
All right, yeah, yeah,
yeah, go ahead. Whatever you say, psycho. All
don't right. use the straws, whatever. All right. But actually, historical records claim that the Hyst literally, like, sent out, like, an Amber Alert to the fucking... Mm-hmm. to all Argonians in Tamriel to make their way back to Black Marsh before the crisis hit, and preparing them for the Oblivion Gates to open. And when they did, not only did the Argonians descend upon them with a force even a Daedric prince was, like, you know, surprised at. More than that, after they were beating them back, they drove the forces back through the gates, and they went in and invaded Oblivion, which I'd say is a first ever in the entire history of Nirn, of like just a regular mortal race just going into Oblivion, and they're like, this is ours now.
I'll just say really quick, I mean, the Hero of K'vach went into Oblivion Gates to shut them, like, from the inside, and some, you know, city guards and military forces in Cyrodiil also went into Oblivion Gates to shut them down. But, big difference, those were always seen as, like, suicide missions, basically. Like, go in, see if you can try and shut the gate, save our city, it's our last chance. But no, the Argonians are over here just mounting full-scale campaigns into this demonic realm, and Mehrunes Dagon himself is like, holy fuck, what the hell? Like, how are you doing this? Like, they are just succeeding against Daedric creatures to the point that no one else was able to do it this time.
Yeah. And
putting up numbers.
It was such an incredible thing. And then I cannot tell you that it is one of the greatest second wins I think I have ever fucking seen from anything. Because they don't stop there. Far from it, actually.
Mm-mm. They're on a high at that point. No, they kind of took that momentum, you know, by defending the Black Marsh against Oblivion and dealing with that crisis on their own, while the rest of Tamriel is still reeling from the effects of the Oblivion crisis. They're still putting out the fires, so to speak. While that's happening, the Argonians are, like, in the best shape ever. Like, they're the top dog all of a sudden because they handled the Oblivion crisis so well. So they then use that momentum to start righting the wrongs done to them, the many wrongs done to them for millennia. They, you know, right after the Oblivion crisis, they noticed that in Morrowind, the Dunmer were experiencing what was called the Red Year, which is when a meteor called Bardow, I'm probably butchering that, basically a big space rock, a meteor, floating above Morrowind for many, many years. But it finally fell to the Earth during what's called the Red Year, which, you know, caused this cataclysmic impact that, you know, destroyed cities, and it set off the eruption of Red Mountain, which was, you know, a gigantic volcano. So basically, the Argonians noticed that Morrowind was getting just fucked up by natural disasters and calamities, and they were ripe for some payback. Because, like, as we've explained, Morrowind had been picking on the Black Marsh for thousands upon thousands of years, and, you know, coming off the heels of the Oblivion Crisis, suddenly the shoe was on the other foot. The power balance was completely different.
Yeah, be careful who you are mean to in middle school, because and be careful who you enslave for thousands of years. God. Because karma comes back, bites you in the ass.
Too true.
And just literally a year after the Red Year, probably just to, like, mobilize their forces, the Argonians, led by, I'm going to butcher this, Anaxilil invaded Morrowind, just coming up from the south, and killed thousands indiscriminately. I'm talking every Dunmer they saw. freeing slaves and like pushing just the Dunmer armies, which were again already exacerbated by the Oblivion Crisis, trying to figure out sense of the Red Year, their forces spread already thin, their resources gone, many of their generals already dead, and they just pushed them back until they got to the Inner Sea, where, you know, if you're looking at a map, you can see like where the Red Mountain is kind of like above that.
The Island of Vardenfell.
Vardenfell. And they pretty much pushed them all the way to, which was previously called Vivec City, where it is named after Vivec, who we talked about before. And the Argonians couldn't really get much further than that, but they were like, nah, we're still going to do some shit.
We're not done yet.
Cursed the waters of that site, where it is now known after that as Scathing Bay.
Wow.
And only with the help of the Imperial Legion to like rout them from the west, do the Argonians finally again do what is usually the kind of fallback plan of go back to Black Marsh. They can't get us there. They're a bunch of pussies.
Right. Run home. Run home to hide in the fort and lock the doors. Yeah.
but like they did it. They got what they wanted.
They stood up and they socked their bully right on the jaw and really just made a statement. Like, we're not gonna be fucked with anymore. We the lizard people are have had it.
Enough. More so that it was, yes, a stalemate, like they didn't take over Morrowind, but because of that, the Argonians also gained independence from the Cyrodiilic Empire, which they had been a part of for, again, thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah. So the Oblivion Crisis, Red Year, and the year following, the political map of the continent of Tamriel just changes overnight, and it's crazy how power balances can shift like that. But that comes back to, you know, we discussed how the connection to the Hist and just the communal nature of the Argonians in general just allows them to act with a singular will like that. When the circumstances are right, it lets them just pull off the impossible and you know, defend their home and then some in the instance of the invasion after the Red Year. It's kind of like for most of the history of Tamriel, the Argonians were under someone's boot because they were just assumed that they couldn't stand up for themselves. But after, you know, millennia of this, they eventually demonstrated, and no one had any doubt afterwards that they can not only defend themselves, but really leave their mark on the world when they want to. So I think we've discovered the hidden strength of the Argonians, but the Empire and the Dark Elves, they also discovered it the hard way.
A very hard lesson to be learned.
Absolutely. So, looking back on what we've discussed about the Argonians and their home province and just what really sets them apart and what makes them so hard to conquer, what are your final thoughts? What are you thinking with all this?
Yeah. So, when I first was doing all this research, I was first looking at it like, okay, so this is sort of like a very underdeveloped nation that may not have a lot of things going for it, but, you know, they got lucky with at least the terrain that they're in. You know, it kind of reminded me of the what was leading up to the scramble of Africa by the European nations back in the 1800s, which was, it was not because the European nations finally were able to, you know, come together and finally organize themselves to split Africa up because they were smarter and more superior. Far from it. For the entire time that they could have, they kept dying by disease. They did not have the correct tools to be able to get into Africa and last very long. And it was just like, again, just a bout of dumb luck that they really just kind of took advantage of a few different members of the African communities that truly led them on, you know, these different guided incursions into Africa that allowed them to, you know, create these strongholds and then split up Africa. And it kind of reminded me of the, you know, Cyrodiilic Empire that was like very close to doing that, but again, could not. But it kind of goes even further than that. and their true nature may never be truly shown, but it is obvious that they are directly connected to this supernatural entity of the Hist. And yeah. I feel like that's where their greatest power lies. I think that the Hist may have a bit more to do with the terrain that they are in. The Black Marsh may have many roots going up and in between the watery graves that left the people of Dunmer and of Cyrodiil to rot. And they are their true ancestral protectors of that land. I don't think that the Argonians were ever in danger of being exterminated, but that is about as far as that protection goes. It feels like the Argonians were not meant to have an existence outside of Black Marsh. They are too ingrained and codependent on the terrain that they have to venture out like they do. If they want to, they can, but it's obvious that when that happens, bad shit also happens. But when they are pushed truly to a corner, it is catastrophic for everyone involved.
I like the part the Argonians play in the broader tapestry of Elder Scrolls, which is, I think, to your point, they inherently are unable to thrive outside of their home province. Like, they can survive, they can, explore, they can have a life outside of the Black Marsh individually, and they can even have small communities outside the Black Marsh, but they will never thrive outside of their home province to the extent that the Imperials can, or Nords or the High Elves. Like, these people who can really go anywhere and succeed in trade or conquest or anything they really set their minds to, because they can really thrive outside their homes if they want to. And like you said, they're just the Argonians by their own nature. It's kind of like, no matter how far they go from their home, they'll never be as strong as they could be if they really stand together on their home turf against invaders. It's kind of like where their true strength lies. But I like the part they play in the Elder Scrolls universe, because they are this people that, if you meet them in Cyrodiil, Morrowind, Skyrim, wherever you meet them, you can have this kind of exotic, I've never seen an Argonian before. Tell me about your, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your home. And they'll tell you about the Black Marsh. And you'll think, that place sounds fucking awful. I never want to go there. But
good.
They'll say, exactly. It's not for you. It's ours. And this place is yours. It's not mine. I'm visiting it, or I'm living here temporarily, or I'm living here even permanently, but it's still not really a place I can thrive in. But it's it's just kind of like I said in the beginning, the Black Marsh still represents this sense of mystery, this sense of it hasn't been fully exploited yet, like most of the rest of Tamriel has.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad there are these corners of the world that are still a little hidden, still a little mysterious, and there are people from that part of the world who can sort of represent it and kind of have a very unique perspective on life in Tamriel that no other race really, maybe the Khajiit to some extent have, but still not quite the same. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, also, one other final thought from me was that I forgot to bring this up, but in my own theory, from what we talked about in the legends of the origin of the Hist being from Oblivion, I think that may be why the Hist were able to kind of counteract this invasion in the Oblivion Crisis, because it possibly had its own kind of sixth sense to know that, okay, Oblivion is scheming something.
That's a good point. It's like, hey, my manufacturers are issuing a recall. I think y'all should probably know about that. Let's put out an APB, get everyone back here. That's pretty cool. There's always something. There's always some twist to see here. That's what's great about Elder Scrolls.
It really is. It's just I never would ever be able to have this kind of conversation. I feel like it's one of the most original and almost alien types of fantasy settings outside of Tolkien.
Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter at lore_party. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.